evening. I call to order this April 22nd, 2025, meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts, and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you please keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand and I will recognize you and you can come forward to the podium. The City Clerk, Brenda Wheeler, must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. And please direct your comments to either myself, the City Council, or our city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin this evening with a roll call of members.
Cooper,
here.
Paulson,
here.
Long,
here.
Wolf,
here.
Willis,
here.
Clark,
here.
Letcher,
here.
Heifel,
here.
All members are present.
Thank you. If you'd please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You know what? My mic isn't on. Are our mics on? Council members, are your mics on?
Yes.
Nope. No power. It's okay. We'll just speak.
No, I got power.
Do you? I don't.
Red.
No, no.
I'll speak loud. Mike.
We'll just speak loudly.
But
let us know if you can hear us. Okay. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote.
Okay. All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 5. Could I have Pat Long come forward, please?
Pat, you address. All right, so we're recognizing Pat Long tonight for all of his years of dedicated public service, over 45, right? Mm-hmm. You probably know how many weeks and days, don't you? No? Over 45. 45 years as a dedicated public servant to our city parks. Pat, I was 6 years old when you started working for the Parks Department. And how lucky and blessed have I been to be able to play in those parks and my children to be able to play in those parks and enjoy all of the shade under all the many trees that you have planted. You have tried very, very hard to make sure we've kept up our Tree City USA status. Yeah. Absolutely. So we are very, very appreciative of Pat as being an incredible steward of our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, 20 minutes.
Item number 6, we have a presentation by our teammates of Blair.
Thank you.
Beth Clark.
Yes, I am Beth Clark. I am a full-time special education teacher at the high school, and I am the program coordinator for teammates of Blair. And we're going to just give you a little background information, show you a little video so you're aware of what we're doing in the community and how we're impacting the kids in our town. This is a picture last year of us at the zoo. You'll probably see some people you know in there. The kids are the mentees and the adults are the mentors. We have, I guess we'll just keep playing through, who's ever in charge. Who's in charge of the clicker?
Aaron? Mr. Barrow.
There we go. There's someone I hope everybody recognizes. Our founders are Tom and Nancy Osborne. They founded this program in 1991. It came to Blair in 2003, so we have been here for 20 years. And we are currently, we're in 6 states now. We just grabbed another Dakota. So we're teammates is in 6 states now. And a little bit about, we have some of our board members here tonight, the ones wearing the teammate shirts. You'll recognize maybe some people in these pictures. We have our CEO in the middle, which is Des Moines Adams, former Nebraska football player. And we have just our board, and Mark just made the slideshow. You know, sometimes you just throw people in, you might see people you know, different mentors. We have, this is going to go up. We now have 93 matches, and I think we have 6 mentees waiting. It changes every week, honestly. But we are very active in the community. We have lots of kids that we're helping. Every single one of those matches is a child in Blair that we are helping, that they have time to have a mentor, that they meet with every week. So, we do have scholarships that we give out. There are national scholarships that come out of the National Office in Omaha. And we also give local scholarships to any of our students that have been in the program for 3 years or more. We've given a lot of scholarship money, and some of that goes to attending four-year colleges, universities. Some of it goes to, if you're going to go and just pursue like a trade, you can use that money for that. You can use it to take one class, or you can go full-time. So lots of scholarship opportunities. And we are also part of a Read Nebraska grant, so our youngest mentees, the grades 3 through 5, some of them, not all of them, some of them qualify for this Read grant, where we got some extra money that we're using to help build literacy skills. We don't tutor for mentoring time. It's a lot of working some reading into your time, you're together, and so the kids get an opportunity to see more things in print, and just another person kind of emphasizing the importance of reading with them. And how does it work? If you don't know Teammates for All, this might be helpful. Our mentors meet with their mentees one time a week during the school year. It's usually about 30 or 40 minutes, only during the school day, only during the school year. And we expect our mentors to be there. They show up. They're there for them. They're an extra adult in their life. And they do lots of things together. They do not do tutoring, so it's not academic time, but they might play games or talk or do crafts. They might go outside and play catch. It's just an extra adult in their lives. And sometimes people wonder about, like, where do these kids come from, and so I think that's on the next slide. Let's see how my memory is. Yes, how are the mentees chosen? City worker, look at that, got Blake up there. Also my first cousin once removed, but. So the mentees, the students, they can be referred from a staff member or the parent, or the kids sometimes come up to us and say, hey, that looks like fun, how do I get involved? We take anyone that wants to be in the program. So. We're not an at-risk program. We certainly have students that we would consider to be at risk, but we take anyone that wants to be in. The mentees have to go out to be in the program, so we'd never go to a student and say, you need to be in Teammates. It's always, would you like to join us? Here's what we do. And we accept any adult that can pass a background check, and we accept any kid that says they want to be in it. There are lots of stats about what Teammates does for kids. It does for the mentors. 91% of them report that they leave in a better mood. There's lots of stats on the kids that it improves their academics, improves their behavior in classroom, improves their attendance, lots of statistics on those things as well. And if you want to get involved, if you're listening to this and going, wow, I want to get involved with Teammates, you can become a mentor. You can talk to your employer. Lots of the employers here in Blair give people time off to go and be a mentor for 30 minutes a week. We also take donations. Here's kind of a thank you to our financial supporters. We have a lot of community support in Blair, which we're very grateful for. And if you want to become a mentor, you can apply online. I do have these flyers, and there's extra sitting at the table if you want to grab on your way out. There's 4 steps to become a trainer, become a mentor, and we're happy to take you through those steps if you're interested. We have a little video to show featuring Mayor Rump for part of it. We have a number of community people in this video, and it shows a little bit more about kind of what Teammates looks like in Blair, and that will be the last part of our presentation. All right, we'll show that.
Blair is a small community of about 8,000 people. We're located here on the very east side of Nebraska, right along the river. We're a river community. I would say we have a lot of different people. We have a lot of farmers. We have a lot of business people.
that's identified every year. Our cultures are definitely growing slowly.
I would say Blair's a very open community. Everyone's nice, I would say.
The people at Blair care about the students here in this school. They've always been supportive. This community has some very strong volunteers, and they want to make sure that these kids have the best shot at life possible.
In a nutshell, I would look to our water tower. It says, City of Blair, welcome home. That's Blair in a nutshell. We want it to be home.
This school's been in existence for over 150 years, and so it's really the center, the pillar of the community. Our adults, our parents, our community really loves connecting with kids and being mentors with the kids, and Teammates has been around for 20 years in Blair, which we're very, very proud of.
My mentee is Addison, and we started when she was a seventh grader, and she is a sophomore this year. She is a very social person who just likes to have her voice heard and just be able to talk about the things that she's interested in. The first year that we met, she was not as outgoing. She definitely was kind of reserved and tried to hold back on what she would share and what she wanted to share with people, especially me. Her time management was one thing that we really focused on, just because she would forget about different things, about our times together. We talk about it every week, just what do you have coming up? What didn't you get done? What do we need to catch up on? And I feel like every week it's slowly getting less and less, so that's good for her.
The bank started out as one of the initial supporters of Teammates. I've been with the bank 26 years, and they've always encouraged us to give back to the community that supports us. My mentee, Mash, his name is Wyatt. Wyatt and I clicked the first day. He's a sophomore at the high school. He is an FFA child, loves to weld. He and I got matched because of the fact that I live on a farm. So he wants to be a farmer or has that connection. And so for him and I to match together was perfect. The other thing that Quiet and I have in common is we both have had cancer. He's somewhat in remission. I am in remission, so I've been cleared. But we have that connection that we can understand where the other one's coming from. So for him and I to be able to connect, and the way we connected right away, I feel like he's my son. It's so much fun.
When students have that consistency from an adult, and when it's an adult besides their parent, it's, again, that extra layer of support is just huge for them, socially, emotionally. And I think if you look at our community, it's why people maybe stay in the community, they return back to the community, because again, the kids have got a strong personal connection to the community.
My mentee is Zach. He's a great kid. Been with him since the fifth grade, and to watch him grow from kind of a shy individual into the young man he's becoming now, it's fun to see. Zach is now a junior at Blair High School, and he's into all sorts of things. He likes school, he likes math class. He's right now big into powerlifting, so he's kind of gotten into that, and he goes and competes in different powerlifting tournaments.
I like to go to the YMCA, and I lift a lot, and I also play basketball sometimes. In fifth grade, I started Teammates. Chad's a really cool guy. I say he's been a really good friend. I tell Chad everything. Everything in my life I tell Chad about, he's someone I can definitely talk to. It's just more of a friendship than anything.
Witnessing him growing up is just, I mean, it's great. It's fun to see, fun to know that I can hopefully be there and support him and help him through those times. Just seeing the transition he's made is really fun, really neat.
A community the size of Blair really cannot function very well without volunteerism. When you volunteer, you are telling the people in this community and everyone in it that they are worth your time. And the mentors of Teammates do exactly that. They're telling those young people they are worth their time.
Not everything in life is going to be great. You know, you're going to have some rough patches. During those times when you have those rough patches, it's always nice to be able to have that one-on-one support from somebody who's been there, somebody who's done that before. These adult mentors within Teammates provide that support that those kids are looking for. They provide them with that sense of belonging that is really important for them. To feel that they have the confidence to take on anything, to persevere through the tough times.
When I come back on Mondays after meeting Wyatt, I'm always in a much better mood. His humor and his sense on life is so different, and it's so lighthearted that it's nice to come back and just say, okay, work is not that hectic, everything is good, and you're in a better mood.
My day is better. It is. No matter what goes on before the meeting, after we meet, my day just seems to be better. My goal for Zach is just to continue to be a great kid and to form lots of different relationships and to enjoy what he does. I know that one day he'll be very successful in whatever he chooses.
Oh yeah, he definitely cares about me. I think it's really helped me open up, and I didn't really have a lot of friends in fifth grade. I think that's one of the reasons I got put in it, because I just really needed to talk to someone, and he kind of just opened me up, and we were good friends, I say.
Time is important. Time is something that not everybody has, but when you take that time to share with a young person that they are worth it, that means a lot.
I hope it can go nationwide. Having positive people impact today's youth can make a huge difference in their lives and the success and the dreams that hopefully someday that they will achieve.
I think we have the potential to have great leaders. You know, these kids are being brought up with their parents, but then you also have the outside leaders to help direct them. They have that base to know that they have people in their corner that are helping them and want to see the best for them. And by doing the best for these kids, we're better in the community.
So thank you for letting us come and tell you about teammates. And if anyone wants more information, you can contact me through a flyer, or I'll kind of stick around for a while if somebody has questions.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
What an incredible organization, and we're really glad that Blair's a part of it, creating that ripple effect in our community. We appreciate it. Thank you. Item number 7. Speaking of ripple effect and doing things for our community, we are going to consider Resolution 2025-38 approving Zach Lepper and Trey Murray as new members of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. Chief Leonard.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council, City Staff. Fire Chief Joe Leonard, LEO, NARD, 1303 Maple Drive. Unfortunately, you see two names on here. This morning I got a text from Zach Lepper. He declined to back out due to some other circumstances, and he couldn't fulfill the time commitment that is required. So we're going to try to reach out to him and see what we can do to change his mind. But I will say before I present our other person, we do have 3 other applications in the process right now. So potential for 3 more coming up here in the near future, here in the next couple weeks or so. These individuals have been gone through all their application process, physical fitness testing, and things. David McIntosh and Amy and Logan are here. They're part of our recruitment retention. David's kind of worked with this individual, speaking with him, keeping him updated with some other things. Member I'd like to bring up tonight, Trey Murray. So. this is Trey. He's works has his own security company. Works out of Omaha. Lives here in Blair, up at Dana, in the apartments up there. So just welcome him aboard with your approval.
Wonderful. Welcome, Trey.
Yep. Awesome.
Any questions? Picture,
yeah.
No question.
No? Police and Fire Committee, did you guys meet to discuss this?
We did meet to discuss this. And we're all in agreement. We're excited to have Trey come with the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. With that, I'd like to introduce Resolution 2025-38. First, do I need to make the amendment first, right? Amend Resolution 2025-38, removing Zach Lepper as new member of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department. I need a second.
Second.
Does that work? I mean, we introduced. Does Brenda need to read it? And then we make a motion to adopt.
He's amending the resolution.
Okay.
And then you'll make a motion to adopt the amended resolution.
Okay.
All council members present, voting aye.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a resolution to adopt Resolution 2025-38 as presented.
Resolution number 2025-38 was introduced by Councilmember Heiko, approving Trey Murray as a new member of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department.
I move we adopt resolution number 2025-38 as presented.
Second.
Again.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2025-38 as presented. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Congratulations. Item number 8. We'll open a public hearing to consider amending the Blair City Zoning Regulations, Article 7, Section 704, adding multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units and residential condominiums to a maximum of 6 living units pursuant to Section 1116 to Section 704.02, permitted principal uses and structures, and removing multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units and residential condominiums to a maximum of 6 living units pursuant to Sections 1116 from Section 704.04, exceptions. Whew! Mr. Byerman, can you explain all that to us?
Hopefully. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jeff Byerman, Community Development Director. So what we want to do in this part of RML only zoning is move a couple of the accepted uses into a primary use, so it does not need a conditional use permit. This is part of our ongoing effort to try to work with our zoning as much as possible to make it easier for developers to get in here and build homes. And while this does not seem like, you know, the idea of an accepted means a CUP, and that gives every council and planning commission a chance to talk about this, we have found out that sometimes conditional use permits can be an impediment to other developers. They just find out that they've got to go through that one step, and sometimes it makes them a little bit more nervous. But as I will try to explain, it's just not a blank check. The planning commission, when we gave this presentation first of the month, did okay, let's approve it as it presented, 4-1. So right here now is our current language in RML, a single family, two family, attached single family dwellings, duplexes, churches, publics, and row crop. What we would like to see done, staff here, would be adding multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units and residential condominiums to a maximum of 6 units, which would, of course, make the number four kind of null and void because it would be redundant. And then, of course, you have your other areas down here. You can see right now, number 13 and 14 is the current multifamily dwellings. But again, they are under exceptions. By moving this to a primary use, we think it's just going to be a little bit easier for developers to, you know, kind of see what's going on. Now, this does not mean that, as we talked about before, the reason of the CUP was to make sure, as someone once said, you know, things go some places but not all places. And I paraphrase it, I butchered that phrase, Phil, sorry. But this shows you right now what some of the other requirements are in the RML. So right now, minimum lot area for a single family dwelling is 6,000 square feet. Right now, as you move up though, so let's say you want to do a duplex, you now need an 8,000 square foot lot. And then as it moves up, everything adds another 1,500. So if you were to build a sixplex, you would need to have at least 14,000 square feet. That's not going to be on one lot. That's probably going to take, if they have the lots, maybe replatting 3 lots and such. So it's not just, it's higher density, but it's not sticking this really big thing on a big dwelling on a really small lot. You know, this is already permitted in RMH, which is our multifamily high density as opposed to low density. And of course, they also allow up to 48 units. We're not doing that. We're saying this no more than a sixplex. And again, you also have limitations of lot coverage not being more than 40%. So there are areas in this language, as it exists now, that would prohibit a lot of this from going everywhere. All of our new subdivisions that do come into residential subdivisions will be already as RML. That's the standard that we've agreed to last year or something. And so you come in, find a lot, you want maybe a duplex, a quad, maybe something in town that has the square footage, you'd be allowed by right. We've talked about Section 116, the special condominium. a lot, but I thought I'd throw this in there just so you can see what those are too. These are already restrictions on what they can do with the condominiums and such, and the off-street parking. And we already have a local developer who's interested in doing some of this. This is the area by Kroll Home there. But his area is a different lot. Kroll Home's over here. This gives you a little indicator where it's at. Bobby McKinnis, Robert McKinnis, has some plans to do single bedroom six flexes, one over here, six this way. And then these would be three on top and three on the bottom. So there is interest in this, and this is, I think, is a good move forward. Again, not having the CEP might make some people a little bit nervous, but the lot sizes, the density, and the requirements for square footage really does make it difficult to put this in any place where you just want. Any questions for staff?
So essentially, this is like another avenue that developers could use to help meet our housing needs in our community.
Yes. Okay. And I do want to congratulate the Planning Commission and City Council. I'm not sucking up here, but I just want to say, over this last year, the city, I think, has done just a lot of great stuff in planning and zoning to make it easier for people to build here. When I look at what we talk about at the state conferences and read the national magazines and this and that, we are far, way more ahead than everybody else. And even with our state regulations for that low density, medium density housing thing that we're not part of, but we're keeping right up with that also.
Great.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, how would council like to proceed?
I'll introduce ordinance number 2573.
An ordinance to amend the Blair City Zoning Regulations, Article 7, Section 704, adding multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units in residential condominiums, to a maximum of 6 living units pursuant to Section 160, Section 704.02, permitted for principal uses and structures, and removing multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units in residential condominiums, to a maximum of 6 living units pursuant to Section 116 from 704.04 exceptions, repealing all ordinance parts of my contract here with the department, so shall be full force and effect. Publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance to amend the Blair City Zoning Regulations, Article 7, Section 704, adding multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units in residential condominiums, to a maximum of 6 living units pursuant to Section 1116 to Section 704.02, permitted principal uses and structures, and removing multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units in residential condominiums, to a maximum of 6 living units pursuant to Section 1116 from 704.04 exception, repealing all ordinance parts of ordinance conflict here with providing a special. So we publish some pamphlet form and providing this public to be a full force in effect.
I move for final passage of ordinance number 2573.
Second.
Question.
The question now before the council is, shall ordinance number 2573 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
Well, council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2573 duly adopted. Item number 9, I'll open a public hearing to consider amending the City of Blair Zoning Regulations, Article 11, Supplementary District Regulations, by adding Section 1103.5, Accessory Dwelling Unit, and amending Article 3, Construction and Definitions, adding Definitions 303.01, Accessory Dwelling Unit. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you again. For your next consideration, finally, is the consideration for ADUs, accessory units. We've been working on this quite well. First, I do want to thank the Ad Hoc Planning and Zoning Committee made up of Chris Boswell, Holly Hafer, Joe Falesca, Katie Ferrari, Kirk Eiffel, Ryan Schroeder, Mayor Mindy Rump, Phil Green, and Aaron Barrow, and a lot of other comments from staff on putting this language together. Everybody on that committee has looked at not only the stuff I gave them, but also other areas on their own. They come up with a lot of really, I really think a good, simple regulation or amendment or not amendment, language for ADUs. There are some out there that are really in-depth and long and confusing. This is simple to the point. And as we get to it, the Planning Commission liked it. They went 5-0 for approval. First off, you know, the definitions of the ADUs is what they will add. And this kind of gives a quick idea of what they are. Detached in this area here, could be attached, could be above a garage, or a garage conversion. Again, the intent of a conditional use permit will be needed for all residential districts, and all residential districts will be allowed to have ADUs, but everyone will need to have a conditional use permit. No ADU should be located between the rear building line and the principal building, the front property, except, and these two things, areas right there are the same as our accessory units. You know, if you want to put one out on RRE, out in front of your primary, much like your accessory structure, you can have that by conditional use permit or as part of the conditional use permit process. Same thing in RL districts, you know, the large lots of 45,000, that's 43,560 is an acre. So these are acreages a little bit above. Again, we allow accessory structures out front with the CUP. So we are making this, you can have an ADU out front as part of the CUP process also. That gives neighbors and Planning Commission and Council a voice on where that should be. And then if garage is currently existing in the side yard, part of that stipulation would be, yes, you can convert that in the side yard just because it's an accessory unit in the side yard also, but part of that CUP. There's a couple different examples of some of the ones I found off the interwebs. This is pretty good size. These are anywhere between 8 to 1,000 to 1,200 square feet. You know, simple A-frame styles, slanted roofs, more rustic. This one would be above a garage. It shows some living square, 167 square feet for that. Kitchen, you know, and bedrooms. Not big, but not really small either. One thing I do want to say as we looked into, I don't think we have it here, as we looked into your packet and it had the ADU regulations, they are limited to, I think you said, 1,000 square feet, so no more than that. But you also have issues with, like an accessory unit, you can't have any more than 2 units. And in certain areas like RML, RMH, you know, single family lots, below 10,000, they can't go above 864 for a total of 82 ADUs. So again, how they get put into place and how they will work will kind of depend on zoning also, regulations, setbacks, and areas like that. We did have, I thought we had more information up here. Sorry, I just have to go by memory. We're going to allow different, whether you have a sewer connection with the house or separate sewer connections. One of the things he said, and there will be separate addresses for 911.
So. Do you have to know the actual regulations up here?
Oh, yeah. I think it's the report last time, wasn't it? So I couldn't find it, sorry.
Section, yeah.
I just scrolled down a little bit. I want to get to the minimum lot coverage. Talks about the minimum lot coverage. Again, you have the current zoning regulations will regulate some of that. Maximum size, no more than 1,000 square feet. Of course, if you have a smaller lot, you won't be able to have that 1,000 square feet. Can't have the ADU any higher than primary structure, setbacks by zoning, separate utility connections if needed. And that's okay. we have had over the years, maybe 3 or 4 times a year, somebody asking about these. A lot of them for family, so people thought about maybe doing some rental stuff. If they're going to rent that out, that's fine. We did not do any sort of restrictions on if you have to live there or not, stuff like this. But an ADU cannot be sold off by itself. I mean, it's part of that plot. And once it's there, it can't be separated. And also, in the CUP process, came down to the design, and any use will be residential in nature and approved to see the process. So if someone comes up with one, they have their plans, they want to add it, we're going to have them say, well, what's it going to look like? Is it going to match the neighborhood? Is it going to match? And ideally, you want to do it to sort of add more benefits to your house and look better and increase the efficiency. And then parking requirements, it was decided none. So, any questions for staff?
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Any comments from the public?
Hello, I'm Todd Stubendieck. That's Stubendieck, 301 South 13th Street in Lincoln. I'm the state director of AARP Nebraska, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and support this proposed zoning change. So why the heck does AARP care about ADUs? Well, what we know from talking to folks in Nebraska 45 plus is the number one thing they want. In fact, 84% of them said it's extremely or very important to them to be able to stay in their home and age in place, stay in that lowest level of care as long as possible. And ADUs represent an affordable, age-friendly option for a lot of folks. And so communities that make this change in their zoning to allow more ADUs to be built is something AARP supports. We certainly don't think ADUs alone will solve any community's housing crisis, but they are, like I said, an age-friendly option for folks. And they also provide a real diverse option for families. Think about it this way. An ADU, an older couple could build one in their backyard where they could have a caregiver that lives and helps take care of them. It could be a family member that stays, a younger family member that stays in that ADU, helps them stay in their house for a little bit longer. It could be reversed. It could be a family who decides to build an ADU in their backyard or above their garage, and has their mom or a grandparent or another older relative live there, which helps keep them out of, you know, a long-term care situation. So, like I said, it's not something that we think is going to solve the housing crisis, but it does create options for families, and it is a family-friendly option. So, again, appreciate the opportunity to come and support this. Really appreciate the community of Blair being progressive, leading the way on ADU zoning changes. Happy to answer any questions.
Anything? No. Thank you, Mr. Stubendieck. Any other comments from the public?
It's Jake Loftus, L-O-F-T-I-S, 2129 Park Street, Blair. Yeah, I love this. I think that this is going to provide more housing options for people of Blair. I didn't really get to look at the details very closely, but it seemed like it was going to be pretty simple. My only concern was, I'm not sure why there was a CUP attached to it when, like, in 10 or 20 years, they're going to have to renew for that after they've already built the thing. But if it's a residential unit, what else would they be using it for if it's not a garage? Why wouldn't we just allow it by right? That was my only thought or concern. I don't know if staff, if Jeff want to address that. That was my only thought or concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. Good question. Did staff want to address that question? It was the CUP question.
Yes. Thanks, Jake. Yes, the CUP option was discussed, and the committee felt that because of neighbors and everything else and all the others like design elements, that the CUP process would be the best way to go. It can be determined that the life of the CUP, as you know, could be as long as somebody requests, could be the length of the house, could be whatever is determined on that. But the committee did feel that there should be some input from not only council, planning commission, and neighbors on an ADU. And that's why that was installed or inserted in the language.
Thank you.
Questions?
Okay, no. Madam Mayor, I might just add too for the council as well. Even as you saw earlier tonight, we now have a history of sometimes moving something from the accepted use, which requires a conditional use permit, to a permitted use. So that would be something that we could consider down the road if these seem to be well received in neighborhoods. You could always move it in some, you know, zoning districts, but not others. So you'll have a lot of flexibility. But again, even as Jeff said, we felt like it would probably be better, since this is somewhat new and innovative, to start with always having some public input. Both the neighbors will be notified, as well as coming to the planning commission and the council. But again, you've got the freedom to be able to move that to a permitted use sometime in the future if you'd like to.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? I will close the public hearing. Do we have someone from our ad hoc committee who'd like to speak about it?
We did put a lot of time into this, and we had a lot of suggestions. We did come together after looking at some of the other regulations that other communities had. We did make ours a little bit simple, again, kind of to the comment made earlier. If it's something that we need to change, we can always change it, but we were trying to kind of make it general right now. And if there's problems that arise, then we can always update it as needed.
You nailed it.
Good job, Holly.
With that, I would like to introduce ordinance number 2574.
An ordinance to amend the Blair City Zoning Regulations, Article 11, Supplementary District Regulations by adding Section 102.5 Accessory Dwelling Units and amending Article 3 Construction Definition, adding to Section 303.01 Definition 2.5 Accessory Dwelling Units, including all one parking lot herewith and providing the commercial only full parts of section, providing for publication of the pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days to be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
The question before the council is, shall a statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members have been voting aye. An ordinance to amend the Blair City Zoning Regulations, Article 11, Supplementary District Regulations by adding Section 103.5X Accessory Dwelling Units and amending Article 3 Construction Definition, adding to Section 303.01 Definitions 2.5 Accessory Dwelling Unit, repealing all orders parking lot conflict herewith, and providing when this ordinance shall be in full force and effect, and providing publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move for final passage of ordinance number 2574.
Second. Question.
Shall ordinance number 2574 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2574 duly adopted. Woo! That was a long time coming. Thank you, Jeff, for all that work. Item number 10, consider ordinance 2575 to amend the Blair City Municipal Code appendix permit license and application fees, adding the rental fees for the amphitheater and pickleball court rental. Ms. Ferrari.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Before you tonight, the long-awaited cost for the amphitheater and some rental fees for the pickleball courts. So when looking at this, we took the approach of trying to align it as much as possible with our depot rental times. You'll see that the amphitheater has two different options, a nonprofit and Blair-based dance or music group, a key deposit for both of them, and then a for-profit or non-Blair-based dance or music group as well. For the nonprofit, we have a 7 a.m. to 2:30, which is $150, 4 o'clock to 11, which is $150, and if you rent it for all day for a nonprofit, you're going to see a $300 rental rate. For our for-profit individuals, again, the same hours apply with $250 for half days and $500 for full days. Looking at our pickleball courts, we felt that it was a great option to allow either members of our community or other individuals to come in and be able to rent only courts 3 and 4. 1 and 2 will always be open for public use, and 3 and 4, if there is no reservation, will also always be open for public use. You will see that the fees do again address a nonprofit or a for-profit commercial use, with the hours being slightly different because there is no lighting around the pickleball courts at this time. 7 a.m. to noon, noon to 30 minutes after sunset, or all day 7 a.m. to 30 minutes after sunset. Nonprofits will pay $75 for a half day and $150 for the full day. For-profit for the half day is $150 and then $300 for the all day. Reservations are made at City Hall, and for the reservation information, you'll see that in our next agenda item. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, Finance Committee.
Can I talk?
Oh, do you want me to do it?
Sure.
Well, we did talk about this, and something new. It can probably be changed as we go along, but we had to set up a precedence on the new park over there. And with that, I'll introduce Ordinance 2575.
In order to amend the Blair Municipal Code Appendix Permit License and Application Fees, adding the rental fees for the amphitheater and pickleball court rental, repealing all Orange Parks and Orange Conflict herewith, providing the summer shall be full force and effect, and published in pamphlet form.
I move this statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
I second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance to amend the Blair City Municipal Code Appendix Permit License and Application Fees, adding the rental fees for the amphitheater and pickleball court rental, repealing all Orange Parks ordinance conflict herewith, providing this ordinance to gain full force and effect, and published in pamphlet form.
I move final passage of Ordinance 2575.
Second.
Question.
Shall Ordinance Number 2575 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare Ordinance Number 2575 duly adopted. Item number 11, consider resolution number 2025-39 approving rental agreements for the Blair Amphitheater, pickleball court rules and regulations, and park shelters. Ms. Ferrari and Mr. Heaton.
Good evening again. So before you have an extensive document for the amphitheater, I believe it's about 12 pages, and it outlines quite a few things. And when we looked at our amphitheater, because it is something that we feel is going to draw in possibly outside groups that are going to bring in lighting equipment, sound system equipment, we wanted to have an agreement out there that allowed us to gather as much information as possible to ensure that we're protecting the amphitheater for future use. So you will see in that amphitheater agreement that there are requirements on liability insurance, there are requirements on showing us how they intend to stage the stage, stage the event area. They have to have their rental in within 60 days, so that we have plenty of time to evaluate and make sure that everything for the park is in working order. Additionally, they are tasked with the added job of if extra garbage cans are needed, they need to provide those. They have to protect the green space and ensure that everything is left in good order. They will be provided a key to use the amphitheater because there are extra rooms within that back area, and again, have that key deposit to protect getting our equipment back. Additionally, we do recognize that parks are open until midnight. Some of ours are not, but this specific one is. And so we are going to stop music at 11 o'clock p.m. at this time. They could still be in the park until midnight loading things into a truck or a trailer, but music will stop at 11. Any questions on this agreement?
Thank you.
I'm going to talk about the shelter agreement and the pickleball rental agreement, and then CJ can talk about the rules. So we are trying to model all of our agreements to look similar and bring them down to one-page agreements with attached rules to go along with them. So you will see the Blair shelter and the Blair pickleball rental agreement are one-page agreements that outline the basic rules regarding key deposit and the rental that goes with the shelters and the rules that go along with them, such as no alcohol, no pets, anything of that nature, specifically for the pickleball. And then they'll also receive rules to go along with that that are more extensive, but it does give them a one-page sheet that they can bring with them for their pickleball and their shelter rental that they can prove that they have rented through the city, and give staff a way to keep track of deposits and who is returning keys and what's been signed out.
Thank you.
Katie,
yes.
I got one question, I guess, just on the amphitheater. They can play music till 11. Is that just during the summer when school isn't in session? Or I know that's kind of a laser beam question, but I guess 11 o'clock seems kind of late if you got kids trying to sleep. That amphitheater points right at the houses.
There is no designation that would go to school time versus summer. If you would like to amend that agreement, you're more than welcome to, and I can help you do that.
I just didn't know if that had been considered, but it's something we can always change.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we left it the way it was is that's these are the hours that the depot currently has. And so technically, people could do the same things at the depot right now. They've obviously surrounded by neighborhood houses. We've not had any issues so far there. So if we have issues in the future, you know, by all means, you can limit those hours.
Thank you.
Mr. Heaton.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So Katie did all the legwork on this. It's kind of like a group project at school, and I just show up and have one page. So, so just the to kind of cover the pickleball court rules, I fully admit that I'm not a pickleball player, and I know talking with the park board, we're kind of feeling this out as we go. But the rules we proposed and were recommended by the park board was that the pickleball court, the hours would be 7 a.m. to 30 minutes after sunset, as Katie mentioned. Courts, there'll be four pickleball courts, so we will, before the opening on the 14th, get signage put up to, you know, let people know which courts, 1, 2, 3, 4. So courts 1 and 2 will be open play all the time. Courts 3 and 4 will be available for reservations through City Hall, just like people will reserve park shelters at the depot. On the sign out there, it'll say for pickleball use only, so we don't want people with rollerblades or roller skates, skateboards, bikes, things like that. No pets on the courts, no alcoholic beverages, which is a park rule, and then no glass containers. We don't want broken bottles and things like that at the courts. And then where the research kind of got a little off track, I guess, on what most municipalities do. We've chosen to limit the play to one game while people are waiting. Every time I've gone by the courts or gone out to the park, there's already people using them, even though the park's not officially open yet. We're going to install paddle racks at each court. So when you go up to play, if somebody's on the court, you'll put your paddle in the paddle rack, basically call them the next game. So then if you want to play another one, you can just kind of get in line. So that'll be the same on all four courts. Katie kind of touched on the reservations, so those will be available for a full day or half day basis. And then Katie already covered all the rates and everything. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any comments from the public? Anyone from our Parks and Rec Advisory Board want to come forward? I'm putting you on the spot. No? Okay, you're all thumbs up, you've voted, and you're done. Got it. All right. How would the council like to proceed?
I'll introduce resolution number 2025-39.
Resolution number 2025-39 was introduced by Councilmember Hafer, approving rental agreements for the Blair Amphitheater, pickleball court rules and regulations, and park shelters.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2025-39 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2025-39. Please register your vote.
All voting aye.
Motion passes. Pickleball players rejoice. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. It's nice that this is the first time I really get officially up here, so it's good at the end of the meeting. I'll make it quick. Number one, I would like to just express my public appreciation to the Parks, Recreation, and Cemetery Advisory Board for the hard work that they put into this as well. So appreciate those efforts. I too would like to thank Jeff Byerman for his efforts on the accessory dwelling units. We've been working on that for a year and a half, and so it's exciting to see that happen. And I know over the years we've had numerous families ask about that possibility, so I look forward to seeing some of those actually get constructed in the days to come. At 1 p.m. today, we turned the water back on at the Generations Park splash pad. Now, it's not on right now, so don't go home and grab your swimsuit and head over there and try it out. We shut it back off waiting for the ribbon cutting, but we did turn it all on to make sure that everything was working properly. You may have heard that there had been a little snafu with some of the plumbing in the building. All of that has been corrected, and so the pressures are all running as they were originally designed to. So very excited about that. So the ribbon cutting ceremony is scheduled for Wednesday, May 14th at 4 p.m. So mark that down on your calendar if you would. Wednesday, May 14th at 4 p.m. Out of Generations Park for the official ribbon cutting of the whole park and the splash pad. And it will officially return on that day. So if you have an opportunity to bring kids who want to play in that, that would be a great time to start the festivities. Amphitheater will be open as well, so people will have an opportunity to walk through that. Also wanted to invite you and to the public to a meeting next Tuesday night, so a week from tonight, when we're going to have our next Fifth Tuesday meeting. This meeting, though, starts at 6 o'clock. And so it's a regular Tuesday night, but it's not at 7 p.m., it's at 6 p.m. And a couple different things that we're going to be addressing at this Fifth Tuesday meeting. First off, Dr. Steve Rathman will be here to present the results of the strategic plan survey that he has conducted. Now again, his survey was primarily a survey of city staff, elected officials. There were some select stakeholders that he spoke with as well. He pulled together all of their thoughts and opinions regarding a wide variety of different issues, and he'll be sharing that data with us that night. I just wanted to remind all of you that the contract that we have with Dr. Rathman was for simply the first half of what oftentimes you would see in what I would maybe describe as a full strategic plan, where you not only lay out some of the data and statistics, but you also end up with actual action items to be worked on over the coming time period. That second half of that we did not contract for. That's something that we will be continuing to work on then, staff and you, as we take that data. But he did do some data analysis, pulled together some statistics, did the traditional SWOT analysis, and so that's a focus on the strengths and weaknesses of the community, as well as the opportunities and threats that exist, kind of pulled all that data together, and so he'll be going over all those details with us a week from tonight. So again, invite you to come back for that. Also happening that night then, staff will be presenting some information regarding the comprehensive plan. And we'll be talking a little bit about what the comprehensive plan is all about, the kind of details and data that's normally included in the comprehensive plan. Blair has not updated our comprehensive plan for at least 10 years, going on 15 years now. And so we're planning to include monies in next year's budget, starting in fiscal year 26, for a comprehensive plan. But felt like it was really important and a good opportunity coming out of the strategic planning process for you to understand the differences and to talk a little bit about how significant that comprehensive planning process will be. This strategic plan process, again, was focused very much on staff and on elected officials. The comprehensive plan really begins to get the rest of the community involved as well. Planning Commission has a very, very significant role to play in that, but there'll be public meetings, charrettes, opportunities for the public to come and talk about a wide variety of issues that affect the long-term plans and growth for the community. So you can expect that coming up in the coming days. Finally, some good news to share with you. CJ and I both mentioned at the end, I think, of the last council meeting, maybe the meeting before, that we'd had some challenges with the traffic signals regarding Highway 75 and the Hollow Road bypass. Items had gotten delayed in being ordered, frustrated you, frustrated us. It's a public safety issue, so we were greatly concerned about that. So CJ has been working diligently to try to receive permission from NDOT to install some temporary traffic signals. This would be at the city's expense and a little bit of our liability. But so far, everything's looking good. We don't have exact permission yet, but we're continuing to push ahead. We hope to hopefully get that permission in the next few days. And if we do, obviously, we'll let you know and then give you a time frame. So things could move fairly quickly if we're able to do that. I'm going to trust that it's something that you would want us to do. And so we'll be proceeding even prior to a council meeting to share with you exactly what the end dollars will be. Again, I want to stress it's going to be local funds that will pay for this, but I really think it's going to be important for us to have that safety through the summer months prior to the permanent signals getting installed sometime in the fall.
OPPD talking about putting lights up then too?
Again, they're working on plans for those. They probably won't have all of them at the same time. Now, when they put poles up, we'll talk to them about whether they can at least have a light on all those poles.
Yeah.
And that would give a little bit more light right there at the intersection. So it's a good point. So that's all I have to share. If you have any questions for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Second.
We have a motion to second to adjourn the meeting. Please register your vote. Meeting adjourned.